When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to the Believe in Vanderbilt Football Podcast and the Believe Podcast Network, brought to you by betonline.ag. In the Music City, I'm Matt Perkins, and I'm joined, as always, by Ryan Seymour. On today's show, Ryan and I sit down to catch up, talk about the last two games against Kentucky and Florida, preview the matchup with Missouri this coming weekend, and talk about the overall state of the program with special regards to the announcement that Vanderbilt will be starting a female kicker in Sarah Fuller this weekend. But before we get started, we can't forget to... All right, we're back here on Believe in Vanderbilt Football with Ryan Seymour. Ryan, good to see you. It's been far too long.
Good to see you, Matt, man. I'm just coming off of Thanksgiving. I got a belly full of turkey. I was cashed out on the couch last night by like about 9 o'clock. Woke up this morning, got some Thanksgiving leftovers with all the family. It has been too long, man. We've been busy, but I don't know. Not a whole lot's changed since we last talked. Obviously, the Commodores are coming off of a loss to Florida going into this week, thinking we had our rivalry against UT. Now the game last minute has switched to Missouri. We'll definitely get to dive in and talk about that a little bit, but how are you, man?
I'm doing good. We had a nice, you know, early mid-afternoon Thanksgiving dinner. So I hit the couch at about 6 and was passed out by about 6:15.
Yeah. Oh, you beat me then.
Yep. Woke back up at about 7:30 and then had round 2 and had some pumpkin pie, a little cheesecake, a little apple crisp. A couple more beers.
I always used to say, as a lineman, one of my catchphrases was, "Hey, you deserve it." I always used to tell myself I'd have my second, third plate, you know, and I'd be like, "Hey, you know what? I deserve it." So I still got that O-line mentality, man. It sounds like you're right there with me, waking up and getting leftovers. Digging into that pie a little bit.
Oh, 100%. I've seen way too many Instagram posts being like, it's 2020. You don't need to think about your waistline.
Don't even get me started on 2020.
Yeah, you got here so
far.
I'm not holding back, baby,
when it comes to the fixings.
Trust me, I did not hold back at all, and it felt good. So, as you guys know, we are brought to you by betonline.ag. The football season's in full swing, actually coming to a close here in a couple weeks. And so while you may not be at the games or have not gone to the games this season, you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Ryan, you mentioned a last minute switch out to playing Mizzou this weekend. Vanderbilt is a 14-point underdog on the road, and we'll get deeper into the game here in just a minute. But the Commodores have covered their last two games against both Kentucky and Florida. Do you think they can make it 3 straight covers against a Mizzou team that has been up and down?
You know, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to say, yeah, they probably are going to cover. I definitely like the momentum that I've seen over the last few weeks. They've definitely been, I guess you could say, in it a little bit more than the previous week. So I think they will cover. I just hope that the coaches were able to take a step back, you know, get a different game plan in motion. I know, obviously, you go in planning to take on your rivalry, and then all of a sudden you have to switch teams completely. That could definitely throw a huge wrench into any coach's staff's game plan. Obviously, you're sitting there, you're scouting weeks ahead of time, and for your game to get switched last minute, that could definitely be a hurdle that these guys are going to have to get over. But I think they'll be able to overcome that challenge, and I think they will cover. I think they're rolling off some good momentum. We definitely saw some positive things early last week against Florida. But to answer your question, I think Vanderbilt's going to see a little bit of a stride here at the end of the season. I think that's kind of how they always have been, and I don't see much being different, you know, even with the season we've seen so far and with COVID and all the challenges. But I definitely think Vanderbilt's starting to maybe hit a a little bit of a stride, if you can, if you could call it that, I guess.
Yeah, they definitely have been. Kenny Seals is definitely improving. We'll get into his play here in just a minute. But for all of your gambling needs, head on over to betonline.ag today to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. That's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Well, we haven't come to you guys since either the Kentucky or the Florida game. So let's kind of just put those two together, right? Because in both of those games, actually, Vanderbilt outplayed expectations in a lot of ways. Obviously, they didn't get the win, weren't able to put up the W, but kept it a lot closer than most people expected, only losing by 3 to Kentucky. And then last week's game against Florida, you know, the spread on that one was like over 30 points. And, you know, Vandy kept it very respectable, was actually winning by the end of the first quarter. You know, they scored a touchdown on their first drive. One of the things that I've seen that's been impressing me is Ken Seals' maturity as a true freshman. Now, he's still checking down a little bit too much for my liking. I would like to see him take some more shots downfield, especially with the offense that was brought in here with the new coordinator and some of the other new offensive coaches. You thought we might see a little bit him try to push the ball a little bit down the field more. But nonetheless, as far as true freshman goes, he has now broken Jay Cutler's freshman record for most yards. He is just, you know, seemingly maturing by leaps and bounds every game.
There's definitely some light. There's definitely some light at the end of the table. Tunnel, excuse me, for Seals.
You're still thinking about the Thanksgiving table, aren't you?
Right, exactly. Vanderbilt fans have definitely got to be excited about Seals. I think with more experience, you're definitely going to see some, maybe him taking some longer shots, feeling a little bit more comfortable in the pocket. You know, any quarterback, especially now that it's only conference play, you know, you're playing some of the best week in and week out. These guys are getting there in a hurry, right? The D-line, SEC is known for just absolute monster pass rushers. Offensive line's been holding their own pretty well. Obviously, we've seen those guys having to jump over some hurdles themselves, with some guys opting out, some injuries. But for the most part, I think he's been doing a great job. You kind of hit the nail on the head there. He's doing a lot of checkdowns. I don't want to say he definitely doesn't feel like he's in panic mode, but I feel like he is kind of going what's comfortable right now. But he'll get there. I definitely think the light is at the end of the tunnel for him, and I think he's going to be a great, great quarterback as he develops throughout the years. We just got to hope and pray that he sticks with us. Speaking of which, I know you and I were talking a little bit before the show. That seems to be that seems to be the norm now here at Vanderbilt, is guys opting out, guys leaving into the transfer portal. Obviously, we hope that we don't lose Seals. A little bit of word of advice. I mean, I saw Bruno tweeted this a few days ago, just talking about how flooded the market must be for all these guys who are entering the transfer portal. So definitely got to be careful of that a little bit. I don't even probably need to ask you, but we lost another guy.
Demetri Moore.
Another guy this previous week. And, you know, I can't even say I'm surprised. So, unfortunately, you obviously hate to lose a guy. I think was he not an all-SEC freshman, I think?
He was preseason all-SEC defense this season. He was the leading tackler from the past year on the team, or at least leading returning tackler. And, yeah, at this point, you know, I've actually got the list or a partial list of guys up here in front of me. We've got Demetri Moore, we got Colin Anderson, Frank Coppett, Tay Daly, Dontay Carrier Williams, who had already transferred here from Wisconsin, Trey Douglas, Sean Away, Ramon Davis, J.R. Tran Reno. Ramon Davis came to Vanderbilt, but J.R. Tran Reno, the running back, left before the season to head to Samford, actually. And they've had a bunch of other guys opt out because of COVID, way more opt outs because of COVID than any other school, definitely in the SEC and maybe even in the country. It's pretty crazy. So, Demetri Moore, especially him, Tay Daly and Frank Coppett are, I think, the three biggest losses, and they're all on the defensive side of the ball. And one of the things that we've seen from Vanderbilt this year is while their defensive front has been, you know, average to above average, maybe even good. If you think about Deo Odabingo and you think about Andre Mintz, like both those guys have had, you know, pretty solid seasons, all things considered. But the back end of the defense is just so slow and they're losing a lot of playmakers. And that's what's really doing them in, especially against teams like Florida, who have guys that, you know, are burners and can just, you know, they make one guy miss. There's no one on the back end at Vanderbilt that's going to catch them.
Yeah, that's really tough. We saw a ton of that. I think we saw a ton of against Ole Miss. I mean, they were just picking us apart 5 yards at a time. Our secondary, I think everyone notices how big of an impact losing those guys will really show. You know, it's tough, man. I really feel bad. I really feel bad for some of these guys that are, you know, put in these situations. Guys are having to move around, switch positions. We've seen one of the D linemen had to move over to O linemen. Guys are having to shuffle all around. It's really, really tough. You're just trying to find your spot where you feel most comfortable. And right now, Vanderbilt has never been, we are not in any comfortable positions for any of these guys right now. So I really do feel really bad, I guess you could say, for some of these guys. You hope to just get into a rhythm of things as a player. You hope to get, you know, roots come training camp, you know, going into like preseason and going into the regular season, you know, I'm speaking from like an NFL perspective, but like getting shuffled around and guys leaving who are coming and going and having to move positions or guys having to step up who are younger. It's really, really tough to kind of find that groove. And unfortunately, you know, we've seen the repercussions of some of these guys opting out and some of these transfers leaving. And it's really been tough on Vanderbilt these last few weeks, and you know, we just kind of hope for the best. I really am just more concerned about the effect that it's going to have on us for long term, right? I keep telling my wife, I'm thinking these guys opting out and some of these guys leaving and transferring, this is going to have a ripple effect over the next 5 years. And that's really, really what I'm most concerned about, is how Vanderbilt is not only going to react, you know, to the end of this season, just trying to make it through, which is kind of like what we've all seen. It's just like we're just trying to almost make it at this point. And we'll kind of go into a little bit about how we're having to source talent outside of football. And we'll get to that in a minute. But when it comes to the guys entering the transfer portal and guys opting out, the ripple effect that this is going to have on generations and programs to come, that's really what I'm most concerned about. I think we're all just kind of like hanging on by the seat of our, you know, by the edge of our seat now with Mason and where the program is, where it sits today. But how do we bounce back from this next year and the year after that and the year after that, you know? So that's what I'm really most concerned about with.
Yeah, for me, I also worry about the mental state of the players, right? You know, it's, you know, Ryan, you know, it's, you know, if one of your brothers there on the team with you is saying, peace out, guys, like, I'm not doing this anymore.
It's a cancer. Like,
it's such a blow. It's such a blow to not only the team from your, you know, skill wise for having those players on the field, but the psyche of the other players. Like, dude, this guy, like, I thought this guy had my back. He doesn't have my back. Right. And it's, I thought, you know,
there's that side of it too.
Yeah. And so I would imagine it's like, well, if he's going to go, like, why am I staying here? You know, what am I going to do?
Exactly. And that is just like, That is like the death penalty in a locker room. Whenever you get guys who are just like on the fence, not completely bought in, or a guy who's talking about, hey, man, I might be putting in my name to the transfer portal. Dude, that has just got to be an absolute cancer in that locker room. Now, you hear chatter, right? You talk to the guy next to you in your locker, like, hey, man, did you hear so-and-so's leaving? Next thing you know, that guy's thinking in his head, man, what am I doing here? Maybe I need to start thinking about leaving, or like maybe this program isn't what I thought it was either. So whenever you start getting that chatter in the locker room, it can start with one guy, and it can, you know, it's next thing you know, it's two, and then three, and then four. And then next thing you know, you got a whole locker room that is sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, like, how do I get out of this? You know, or man, this, you know, this sucks. We need better coaching. We need better facilities, you know, whatever. Whenever you start getting that, like, kind of mindset in a locker room, it is not good, and it definitely will trickle over into Saturdays for sure. So you're absolutely right. Like, you got to sit there and think about, like, man, what are some of these players thinking about that are on the team right now? They got to be like, holy crap, like, what do we get ourselves into, man?
Well, and on top of that, so I don't know, it's actually something I wanted to ask you. When you were in the league, I mean, because obviously when you were at Vandy, the transfer portal didn't exist. It wasn't a thing. It
had no, that wasn't a thing even a thing.
No. Yeah. And so when you're in the league, though, I'm sure you played with guys who were checked out maybe in the last year of their contracts. They knew they were going to go somewhere else once they hit free agency, something like that, or they were riding the pine and they were on, you know, and they were, you know, grumbling to the GM, grumbling to the coaches, wanting to get out of there. You know, did you run into that situation as a pro, and how did that affect you when you were playing or your teammates?
I can answer that question. There's a couple of different answers to that question. One, from like a whole team perspective, absolutely. There's always guys who are definitely checked out or maybe on a contract year or no, they're not going to make the squad. And so from a team perspective, yeah, that's definitely not good. You never want to be around those guys or like have one of those guys in your team, because it doesn't help anybody, right? Like, doesn't help anyone to bring that type of energy into a locker room. Definitely doesn't help from a performance perspective. But from a league standpoint, there was definitely a lot of politics in the league too, right? So it's very different from college, where, you know, I come into a program like, hey, I'm going to be here 4 years, right? I pretty much do what I'm told, go to class, like don't like have any mess ups. Like, I'm pretty much guaranteed to be here 4 years. Versus in the NFL, there's a lot of politics that go into these things. Obviously, you're getting a lot of outside influence from media. You're getting influence from like draft picks and your GM, like try to make himself look good. Like, obviously, if a GM drafts a guy that maybe he's not performing to the best of his ability, or maybe he's a bust, you know, the GM doesn't want to look bad and have this guy ride the bench, or maybe they give this guy a big contract. And, you know, unfortunately, they're paying this guy $5 million a year. They're not going to pay him to sit on the bench, even though he might be playing like crap. So there's that aspect of it too. And that was a really, really frustrating thing that I'm sure most guys in the NFL can kind of speak on, especially if you're like a guy like myself who was like, you know, always that like sixth guy on the O-line, or always like a guy who was like kind of fighting to make the team. You're going up against guys who maybe have a little bit of advantage over you, whether they were a draft pick by that team, maybe they're just signed a big contract, but maybe haven't had the best season or year after that. So like, that was always a big challenge for a lot of guys. So from that aspect of it, you know, the NFL can be very, very political, but I hope that answers your question a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, well, speaking of making political decisions, I think, you know, there is one decision in terms of Vanderbilt's roster that has come up recently, and Vanderbilt is making waves in this weekend.
They're
they're making a splash. They are going to, it appears that they are going to be the first Power Five school to ever roster a female player. Sarah Fuller, who was the goalie for the SEC champion Vanderbilt women's soccer team. They just won the SEC tournament last weekend. Congratulations to
only SEC champ on that team.
yeah, exactly. She's the only SEC champ on that team.
I was texting some guys last night and they were like, shit, it's the only SEC champion on that team. I'm like, damn, you kind of got a good point there.
because of combination of COVID and opt-outs and transfers, Vandy needs a kicker, and so she's got a big leg. I mean, she plays keeper, and we all know that goalkeepers probably have the biggest legs on.
Yeah, people probably don't know that, but my wife is a keeper, and so I used to give her crap. I'm like, you can't kick the ball very far. Little did I know, actually, the keepers usually have the biggest legs on the team, because they do a lot of drop kicks. They're kicking out of the goal, you know, crossing an entire field, can even go all the way to the other goal sometimes.
Yeah.
So definitely. And it's in the style of kick, too. Honestly, yeah. Of kick, you know, obviously you got your fielders and stuff who are kind of, they're very skilled type guy, you know, type of girls guys. But from a keeper standpoint, they just take 5 steps back, run through the ball and kick it as hard as they can.
Yeah, because it's always a set piece for them, right? If they're doing like a goal kick.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, it's a set piece for them. And so they're not worrying about kicking a ball that's moving. So it's actually much more like field goal kicking than anything else. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And now, obviously, you know, Vanderbilt needs help in the kicking game. Their kicking game has been, has been piss poor this season.
I don't even know. What are like 3-for-7 or something this year?
I'm going to bring this up for us right now, because it is so absolutely just mind-bogglingly bad. While I look this up.
Yeah, while you look this up, I'm in a group chat with a bunch of former players. And one of the things, like, One of the guys in the group chat was like, I absolutely love this move by Mason. And everybody's like, huh? What? Like, what are you talking about? He's like, absolutely genius move by Mason. They're saying, he was saying that Mason brings Sarah onto the team. That obviously, you know, we've already got a ton of media attention from this, but you know, they're like, that's such a progressive move. Like obviously he's doing so much, you know, for female athletes, like Vanderbilt being the first school to have a, you know, the female on the roster. Like they're saying, he was saying there's no way. He said, this just added another 2 years to Mason's contract. So I was dying laughing. They were like, what a genius move by Mason to save his job at the end of the year by getting Sarah on the roster. And I just was dying laughing. The whole group chat was like blowing up. They were like, dude, maybe he's playing chess. Maybe he's playing check or chess, man. We're all playing checkers out here. But they were just all dying laughing about that, thinking that like this move was to save his job. And I was like, I mean, it doesn't hurt it for sure, you know, especially if she goes out there and nails one through the uprights. So we'll see.
Yeah, it is. It's not been good this season at all for Vanderbilt. I mean, in terms of kicking, for them as a team, their field goal percentage, as you know, they have, oh gosh, it's so bad. They're under 50% for the season. They're under 50% for the season. Piercing.
So maybe this isn't even a COVID issue. Maybe this is like, maybe this isn't even a COVID issue. Maybe this is just a straight performance where they're looking for another, like a serious, another option as far as their kicking game.
Well,
if it's as bad as you say it is.
96th out of 99 teams.
96 out of 99.
Yep.
Oh, yep. My Lord. Oh, my goodness. That stat right there is pitiful. I mean, and unfortunately, we are in the bottom percent over a lot of stats. I'm sure there are multiple stats that you could read off where we are like the bottom program. 96 out of 99. That's really tough.
Yeah, it's
that's really, really tough.
Yeah, it's hard to get worse. It's hard to get worse. And
well, there's a few more to get worse, but
there's a few more to get to worse, but all of those have played four games or less. Vanderbilt's played seven.
Oh, man.
And so just terms of percentage wise, they're hitting 43% of their field goals.
What do we even say about that?
I mean, you know what, you know, Derek, you know, what your friend said in the group chat is actually very poignant for this for a couple of reasons. First of all, it can't be worse, right? They're not going to get worse than they already are. She goes and she misses a kick. Big deal. In terms of PR, this is great for outside looking in, right? It's like, oh, look at Vanderbilt, right? Oh, look at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. They're so progressive. They're so, you know, forward thinking, right? They're always, you know, they're all about gender equality, and they're all about, you know, all of these, all these values that are, you know, that we associate with Vanderbilt in general, right? They, you know, all of these, like, you know, forward thinking and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, if she is successful, right? If she's successful, oh, look how great this is. Mm-hmm. You know, and they can promote her, and they can promote her and the women's soccer team at the same time. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to celebrate the women's soccer team during this game. I guess it's games at Mizzou. Mm-hmm. But I think they have one more home game this year. They'll celebrate the women's soccer team there. She can run on the field in her football pads, right, while they're getting the SEC championship trophy. And it's a bunch of really good PR, because especially in this day and age, you can't knock that. You absolutely cannot knock someone from the outside, especially, cannot knock that in any way, shape, or form without being canceled.
I would say, yeah, prove me wrong otherwise, right? Like, if she goes out there and it works, man, I would be I'd be the first one to be like, man, that's great. Like, yeah. I'm a believer.
I hope she's fantastic.
But I hope so. I mean, I hope so.
Just for the sake of the team and for the sake of the program, like, you know, we want them to win. Yeah. We want them to be successful. So, like, nobody's going to root against her.
Well, this is the issue. This is what I have to say about it. Yeah, absolutely, man. We all hope she goes out there and just freaking boots it right to the uprights. I mean, absolutely great for her. What an accomplishment for her to be even asked to have this opportunity. Obviously, like, she has to have some sort of skill to be even like approached, like, from her coach, probably recommended her to Mason. Like, what a great accomplishment for her. Obviously, no one can knock that. The only thing I care about, though, and not, this isn't like me bashing her or anything, the only thing I care about is winning. The only mm-hmm. thing I care about is her making the field goal, or whoever making the field goal. If she does not make the field goal, then it's going to be a bad move. I don't care. I don't care if she's a female. I don't, you know, because at this point, the only thing that matters to me are wins. Yeah. Right. And
we don't have any,
and people can take that, and, you know, and people can say like, oh man, you're being like a sourpuss, or like a loser, or like, you don't like women. It's like, no, dude, I really don't care if it's a guy, a girl, an alien, whoever.
I don't care if it's a dolphin.
Give a crap if it's a dolphin. Whoever they put out there, just make the field goal. Just do your job, and we need to win. That's all I care about, right? But what I do have a problem with is if this is some sort of publicity stunt, if this is some sort of way to kind of like take people's thoughts or minds off of what's really going on and having it focus on a progressive attitude or a forward-thinking message, that I do have a problem with. If Mason truly believes that this is an actual great option for us, dude, I fully support it. But if this is some sort of like smoke and mirror charade, I think that's very, very disrespectful. So I hope people don't take that with like, you know, the wrong way. But all that really matters is doing your job, and that's winning. And for her, the kicker's position is making a field goal. So if she does not make the field goal, then unfortunately, I don't think it was a good move. So that's, you know, really all I care about.
I will evaluate her the exact same way I evaluate every other player on the roster.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't judge people by color of their skin, anatomy, boy, girl. The only thing I give a crap about is who is most qualified for the job. Who is most qualified?
And who gets results. And who gets results.
And who gets results. Exactly.
Even more so than qualification.
Even more so. Yeah, exactly. Even more so. Results. That's all I care about. So that's all I'll say about that.
At the end of the day, football, especially SEC football, is about results.
Yeah,
it's not about winning a PR battle.
Yeah,
it's about winning football games.
That's the first thing my O-line coach told me when I got to the NFL. He goes, "Hey man, you don't get paid to play; you get paid to win." And I'm like, that stuck with me. I'm like, holy crap, you get paid to play, right? You get paid to win, right? And that is especially true in SEC. Like, mm-hmm. it is a what have you done for me lately business. Mm-hmm. It is a results driven business. Right. Look what happened to my man Muschamp. I mean, dude, it is a results driven business. And we're going to see, even through COVID, we're going to see some crazy stuff happening this season. Our boy Franklin's on the hot seat. Harbaugh's like, dude, we got some people who are on the hot seat, COVID or no COVID.
Yeah.
So we're going to see what
Franklin
happens.
Oh, boy. If things are bad at Penn, what are they, 0-5? Things are bad at Penn State. Things are really bad. And plus, they've had some other accusations come out recently that are questionable at best.
If you're Franklin, would you ever consider coming back to Vandy, you think?
Would you even consider it?
He left on such a high note. I'm sure, you know, if for whatever reason.
I don't know if he would be. So I think that there was a faction of people that would welcome him back with open arms. And there's another faction of people that would say, no, not in a million years because of off the field things. Right.
I wasn't sure if you'd say because you left us, like they were. Like,
no, I don't think it's that at all. I think, you know, there are some people that get back with their exes and are successful, but it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare. Yeah. The times that it's worked, the only time it's worked in recent memory, Mack Brown going back to North Carolina after being at Texas and then being retired for a little bit. But that was 20 years between, you know, being there, mm-hmm. going away, mm-hmm. and then coming back. We've seen that happen also, I think maybe with one or two other programs sort of rekindling the magic. But that doesn't usually work. That's usually not a very successful formula.
Pick your brain on that real quick. Yeah, so. If I'm Franklin, I probably would just let my let my record stand for itself and just keep that on a high note. I wouldn't want to come back and tarnish that, or maybe, you know, for whatever reason. But yeah, I don't think he's coming back, nor do I think he should come back. But mm-hmm. we're definitely optimistic. Obviously, I'm going to be looking, you know, at the end of the season, seeing who's out there, because I don't think there's any chance, you know, Chancellor or Athletic Director Lee is going to be able to not reevaluate, you know, Coach Mason and the staff. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I will say, so, you know, they've got left on the schedule is Missouri, Georgia, and Tennessee, at least tentatively. So Missouri, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they're going to be huge underdog. There's no way they're beating Georgia. There's zero, especially now that JT Daniels is playing quarterback at Georgia. There's no way they're beating Georgia next weekend on the 5th. You know, mm-hmm. Tennessee is not looking great. Mizzou has been up and down, and Vanderbilt's looking better. Even if they win one of those games and finish the season, what would that be, like 1-9, 1-8, 1-9, something like that?
Does 1-9 give Mason hope to return next season?
I mean, you know? If it does, I think that is more of an indictment on the athletic department than it is on Mason, because mm-hmm. the team has improved in some way, like throughout mm-hmm. the season. They're still not winning, and like you said a couple minutes ago, it's not about playing, it's about winning, and they're not winning. Is really what it boils down to. Now, there have really been some in the last couple of games, we have seen a couple of bright spots. Ken Seals, we've talked about. Another guy who's really impressed me is Chris Pierce Jr., the wide receiver. In the last, he had two touchdowns. He had two touchdowns in the last game. He's also, you know, just put up some, you know, last game, 97 yards and two touchdowns. Game before that against Kentucky had 53 yards and another touchdown. He's made some big plays and some big catches and kind of running over guys at times, which is, you know, one of the things that I kind of hope to see, right? Because there have been some, you know, they've got some big bodies and playmakers at receiver. But unfortunately,
what year is he?
Chris Pierce is a senior. Yeah, he's a senior. So
this is last year.
Mm-hmm, it's his last year. But Abdur-Rahman is a junior, so he should be coming back. And Cam Johnson is also a junior. So Cam Johnson's been getting a lot of catches all season. He leads the team in catches. I think that the passing game has been solid, right? You know, Ken Seals is, you know, getting up there, is being efficient. He's doing a good job of not turning the ball over nearly as much. You know, against Kentucky, he didn't have any turnovers. Against Florida, he had one interception, but that was late in the game. And that wasn't, you know, I'm pretty sure it was late in the game. It was on the last drive of the game when they were, you know, trying to come back. So I don't even really count in a lot of ways. And so, you know, he's been really good with the ball, but the running game has just been, it's been really tough sledding. I mean, against Florida, they averaged 2.6 yards per carry. That's not going to cut it. Against Kentucky, they averaged 4 yards a carry. And, you know, and a lot of that was on the back of Keon Henry Brooks, who is now out again, you know, out injured. And they've had so many injuries just left and right. And couple that with the opt-outs and the transfers. And, you know, I think that that's just, you know, like we said early on in today's show, like that's just got to be absolutely soul crushing for some of the players, just being like, I'm the only dude left out here. Like, you know, you look at the two deep from the beginning of the season, it's like, you know, someone standing out there, especially at the running back position, it's like, dude, there's no one left.
Yeah, that is got to be a tough feeling for some of these guys to, like, you know, look behind you on the depth chart, look behind you in the meeting rooms, and like look back at the room and be like, there is no anyone else. There is no me not getting it done. There is no excuse of like, or like, you know, catching a break. Like, okay, man, if I'm having a bad game, so and so is going to pick me up, or like, you know, if I have a bad play, it's okay. Like, I got so and so, he's got my back. Like, he's going to go in there, and like, there is none of that. Right. It's like you're standing there, you're standing at the game, and there is no one else but you knocking on that door. That is going to be a tough feeling. You know, like I said, the ripple effect that these guys opting out and transferring is just going to be crazy. We're going to have a great recruiting class next year if we have any chance of competing in 2021. So it's really, really tough. But back to kind of what you're talking about with the receiver group. You know, I hope to see the continue I hope to see Seals continue to get better. Obviously, he's going to do that. This season is was going to be great for him as far as a learning experience. We hope to see some great big receivers like Jordan Matthews and Chris Boyd out there being able to jump up and pull some of these balls down. Hopefully we can see, you know, some guys get into a rhythm and start getting a nice relationship that we can hopefully follow for the next few years. Obviously, we're all going to be following Seals, you know, his whole career. But yeah, man, the ripple effect that this season is having on years to come is definitely going to be a challenge for these guys. I know we talk week in and week out about, is this going to be Mason's, you know, last year? We talk week in and week out about what can Vanderbilt do to improve the program. Is it going to be facility upgrades? Is it going to be coaching switches? Last week we had Florida, who didn't even go into the locker room because they were so.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about that. That was ridiculous. They didn't. so this Florida team, if you guys didn't notice, this Florida team doesn't use the Vanderbilt locker rooms at all. They got dressed at their team hotel. At least partially, right? They're all put on their pants and stuff like that at the team hotel. And okay, like it was like a JV game out there. Like, you know, you're wearing the pants and the cleats and stuff like that on the team bus, carrying your freaking shoulder pads and your helmet, and you know, walking out. At halftime, they go and sit in the corner. They're not going inside the locker room because the locker rooms are too small, too poorly ventilated for them, especially during COVID.
Due to COVID,
like,
yeah.
Like, they might as well have had orange slices out there, like, you know, for the players. Like, it was some, like, you know, youth soccer game or something.
Have you ever been in the visiting locker room?
No, I've heard stories.
It is atrocious, man. That's what Joe said
a couple of weeks ago. He said it was just absolutely embarrassing.
It is atrocious. I mean, our home locker room, like, our locker room is bad enough as it is. They put some stickers on the wall and like maybe gave us some new carpet, like maybe a few years back when I was there. And that's about it. And even our locker room is absolutely pathetic. Now we get ready in our locker room, and then they do the star walk, and they walk down the star walk, and then they go into our team locker room. Our home game team locker room, that locker room is even trash. I mean, it is. You got these metal lockers in there from like the 80s, and you could tell they painted like 12 times. If you like scratch it, you can see like eight different colors on it.
You scratch it out, so you can find some olive green and some beige.
You got one toilet in there, and you got a couple urinals, but you got like one toilet with like maybe three or four urinals. It is like at halftime, you're like rushing to go in there and take a piss. Or like, if you got to use a bathroom, God forbid, there's no like, you know, they got females in there and stuff, like trainers and stuff. There's no privacy, you know, the like little training room area. Like if you get bumped or bruised, like, dude, it is like the size of, it's like the size of a closet, man. It's absolutely nothing. The whole locker room itself is like, you could barely squeeze in 60 guys in there. Right. And this is an SEC home locker room. Now, let me tell you about the visiting locker room. That is a home locker room. Let me tell you about the visiting locker room. It is atrocious, bro. Bro, there is like bugs and like cockroaches. You look up in the ceiling and it's like brown, like freaking like the damn like ceiling tiles are like half
stained
of them are missing.
Stained and stuff.
Stained, half of them are missing. You know, you got these old like janky like wooden chairs. Like not even enough to fit a whole team in there. Like honestly, like you're not even enough to fit a whole team in there. If you do, you're like shoulder to shoulder. Guys got to share probably two. You know, most guys are sharing one locker, like two or three guys. I mean, no, I don't see how more teams don't not go in the Vanderbilt visitor locker room. Obviously, they had an opportunity with COVID. There's no fans. They can just talk amongst themselves, mm-hmm. you know, and without anybody having like overhear conversations or like game preps or like any sort of adjustments. So I know why they haven't done that in the previous years, but man, it's bad, man. At some point, the SEC's got to step in and say, you guys have to devote some mm-hmm. sort of money to your guys' facilities. Otherwise, like you're going to get the boot. But
yeah,
another guy brought up in my group chat, like an interesting point, like, you know, in one hand, you think like, man, you think the SEC would be like so ashamed of like Vanderbilt. Another guy in my group chat made like another interesting point. He was like, you know, if you're the SEC, you gotta love Vanderbilt. And I'm like, why? And you said, you got to think like a lot of these teams year in and year out who are like got four wins and are looking to secure that fifth win nowadays to get that bowl game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, every team's going to get that dub against Vandy. Mm-hmm. So it makes the rest of the conference look a lot stronger when you're able to say like, hey, all the other SEC teams, every single one of them are going to a bowl game every single year. And that like fifth or sixth win against Vandy, like, he made a good point. He was like, you think SEC has got to be upset with Vandy? They probably love Vanderbilt. And, you know, yeah. And it's a great excuse. Like, oh, you know, well, Vanderbilt, you know, there's high academic standards and they make all these excuses for us. Like, they probably love that. So I thought that was a very interesting point that he was making. It's yeah. like, you would think that the SEC would step in and be like, hey, y'all got to put X amount of dollars in your facilities and y'all got to step it up or you're going to get the death penalty. But a buddy of mine was like, dude, that is absolutely probably not the case. They probably love Vanderbilt because it makes the rest of the teams look like all-stars. You know, every single one of them is going to a bowl game. You got to love that as a conference, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I think that's why the Big Ten brought Rutgers in. For the same idea, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You get the New York market, which is the biggest market now, you know, in the Big Ten, and they're a pushover. Well, Nashville's the second biggest market in the, you know, in the SEC after Atlanta. And, you know, they're a pushover in football. They're adequate at basketball and they're great at baseball. So, you know, it is.
And women's soccer.
And women's soccer and women's bowling. The women's bowling team is outstanding.
Women's bowling, national champs.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
I tell people that all the time. I'm like, you know what our best program is? They're like, what? I'm like, women's bowling, dog. And they're like, are you for real?
Yeah.
I'm like, national champs, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like, holy crap.
It's them and I think Stephen F. Austin, I think, are the two yeah. best universities,
yeah.
the two
yeah.
best schools in women's bowling. So what are you going to do? All right. How are you? We'll finish it out right now. How are you going to be watching the game this weekend? You're down visiting some relatives down in Florida?
Down in Florida, holding it down at Daytona Beach. Just got off the golf course earlier this morning. Going to be watching it from the living room with all the little cousins and chitlins running around. I'm going to have to yell at them, keep it down. But, man, I'm just hoping for the guys that we can finish out the season strong and maybe get two dubs. You know, like you mentioned, I don't think they have any hope against Georgia. No offense, but Georgia's been playing lights out, and they have a few guys back, and I just don't think that Vanderbilt's going to have a chance. But I really hope we can get a win over Missouri. Definitely hope we can get a win over Tennessee, at least Tennessee. That way the rest of Nashville can talk shit to the other UT the rest of the year and be like, hey, man, we might have went 9-1, but the one team we did win, we beat UT. So
exactly. But, yeah. You know, it would be yeah. great. It would be great, you know, for all people involved. Vanderbilt gets the win. Sarah Fuller kicks a game winning field goal as time expires. You know, that would be that would be pretty great. but I also think that would definitely guarantee us two more years of Derek Mason.
Yeah, that's what the word on the street is, man. This is supposedly a genius move from Ole Mason, but we'll see, man. We'll definitely see. So, but fingers crossed for the boys on Saturday, man. I'm glad we had a chance to catch back up. I know, obviously, been busy schedules. Been trying to get this on the books, but you know, Vanderbilt's having a little bit of life in them. They got three games left. Let's see how they finish.
All right, sounds good. Well, until next time, anchor down.
Anchor down, man.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.